The following is a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mullman Media Management and staff.
Welcome. This is Joe Poe.
And Mary Helen Deer.
Hosting Kiowa Talk, created by the late J.T. Goombay. Our sponsors for Kiowa Talk here on Saturday on New Country 98.5 KACO are Kiowa's for a Better Future, District 5 Legislator Anita Johnson, District 7 Legislator Jacob Sotai, Susan Campbell, Kiowa Citizen, and Lawrence Spottedberg, Kiowa Citizen. Giving the invocation for today will be Mary Helen Deer.
During this time of what is now called the July 4th, our people come together from all over. It's like a homecoming. And also, it was at one time part of our Thanksgiving for the year, for harvest, and for, you know, all the clans to come together to be with each other. So it's kind of a holy time, not really July 4th celebration, but a time for Kiowa people to come together. And for that, we are thankful. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings that you have given us, that you have brought us through this pandemic, that you have given us life and wealth, health and wellness, and for that we thank you. Be with our people as they all come to see each other, their families, and celebrate life. Be with the Kiowa people in general so that they will experience a good year this coming year. Thank you again for our blessings. Be with our people. Amen.
Thank you, Mary Helen, for the wonderful prayer. Next up is our Kiowa Elder of the Week, who is John Somte. Mary Helen, I'll go ahead and turn this portion of the show over to you, and you can go ahead and do your thing.
Generally, like to talk to our elders of all areas and to talk about all Kiowas aren't the same. You know, we grew up different. We lived in different places. But you still have a story to tell, and we want to share those stories with the listening audience and save them so that other people can also listen to them. So we like to start out with, who's your folks? So John, tell me, who's your folks?
My folks, mother and father is Lily and Roy Somte, Goody Bowl. They were homestead there, is just right east of Goody Bowl there on Number 9 highway, where the highway has took over most of the yard there. The homestead, we lived there. All the older ones lived there, and I'm the youngest, and I kind of grew up here in Shawnee. It's from fifth grade on up, and at Saddle Mountain, we moved over there, and my dad became the pastor over there for a little while, and we moved to Shawnee. Well, we moved to Shawnee because he took sick and came to here at the hospital in Shawnee, and my big brothers took us in. And when he passed away, we just mom and I and the other two, my sister Wawana and my brother Samuel, and we settled down here in Shawnee. And
were you in sports when you were in school?
Well, junior high, I was football played a lot of softballs, fast pitch, and that was about it. I started from the ninth grade on up. I worked, had a job, so I had to quit sports.
How about school after you graduated from high school? Did you go on to college or just keep on working? How did that happen?
I went to OSU Tech at Oak Valley and got me a junior college degree in the industrial machinist. And from then on, I had worked in different various machine shops, automotive machines, and industrial machines, and went into the military and done the same thing in the military. I was a Vietnam War era veteran. I had various different trainings and different schools. I took some welding, and you know, I was more of an industrial type guy. Mm-hmm. I had trainings in the different types of modern machines. At that time, there wasn't any CNC, but they had a basic beginning of it, and I got a lot of that. And then, of course, 20 plus years later, came out with a good solid CNC machine. So that was what I was in when I retired.
Yeah, technology has taken a lot of job skills that, and they're just part of the past.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's too bad sometimes.
Yes.
How about family? What is your family?
Well, my own family. I have two children, a son and daughter. My oldest daughter, her name is Tammy, and my son is Terry. I have five grandchildren, Amanda, Michael, Ryan, Matthew, and Gabrielle, and one great-granddaughter, Amora Brooke. She's three. And the families are all situated here in Shawnee. I have three grandchildren in Rio Rancho in Mexico. Up to that point there is pretty much kind of scattered. The oldest grandson is living in Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm. How about some of your Kiowa teachings? Have you shared those with your family? And what are they?
As Kiowa teachings, I hardly have any of that at all. My Grandma Lucy, my grandma aunt, you know, she would teach us some, you know, some of the funny Kiowa, you know, stories, and then she would teach us some Bible, and then some language, and then she would sing, you know, Kiowa hymns. And that's about it. My one of my big brothers, Sam, is really good at the singing of the Kiowa hymns. And, of course, you know, my 5Es, Lester and RG, and then they, you know, they're good at singing that. And that's about it. I really don't hardly have any kind of Kiowa teachings. Are you saying that I should or am missing some of the Kiowa languages and things?
No, it's just that sometimes, you know, we do get teachings and we don't recognize them as such. I remember when I lived away from home and people would ask me, you know, what's it like being Indian? You know, I'd look at them and say, I don't know. I've never been anything else. And only,
really?
Only until I got more grown up, more, you know, older, that I look back and I see some of the differences between the way they look at things and the way I look at things. And then I began to realize that my thinking was more Indian or Kiowa oriented than the general population. But there are subtle things, and you don't realize that those were teachings that we got from our grandparents and our parents. And
I guess growing up, you know, in the city, you tend to more in the white world, you know, and then, you know, then like some of the guys, my cousins, and so they still grew up back, you know, around Carnegie and Mountain View and Goldie, you know, and then them talking Kiowa, you know, and here I grew up with these guys, but I grew up in Shawnee and they grew up there, and they know fluent, see, Kiowa language. See, that's what I miss, and I kind of indirect some of the kids around here, different tribes, to get in as much of their language as they can, you know, if they're having songs, you know, all that good stuff. And that's what I've really missed.
Those songs on both my Creek side and my Kiowa side, you know, bring back a lot of memories of my grandparents and being around them and all. So
well, I really do I really do love and enjoy the Creek Seminole singing. That's what my wife, she was a Creek Seminole, we lost her 10 years ago, and she grew up, you know, around Vianna, and then Okmulgee, her dad was a Baptist minister, too, we got to go to the different, you know, gatherings that they had, the different singings, and I just really enjoy that language and that singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my Creek people were from around Okemah, so that's where I came from on that side. But yeah, mm-hmm. It sure brings back a lot of memories, you know, from then. So, looking at the way you grew up and some of the kids of today, your own children or other children that you see, what kind of advice would you give them? You know, you talked about, you know, the children that you are around, you know, you encourage them to learn their language. What other kind of advice would you have for them?
This, the only way I could tell you is that it would be from the my Sunday school class and the youth class I have at church. You know, I go to Salatiska Baptist Church here in Shawnee, and I used to teach the youth class, and now I've got the younger children, and I have the children church class. I would just encourage them not to bully, you know, think like this. Remember, you know, to take care of and respect the elders, you know, all that good stuff that when they want to get to school, you know, plus their peers that they are with, you know, I try to encourage them to let them see how you behave, you know. Don't do, you see a bully, you know, see it going on, you can pretty much get involved in it as long as you don't do what they're doing, you know. You can, you know, I know, you know, and try to run interference, you might say, and distract the pushing or the yelling. You know, just try to find ways of, you know, slowing it down, because it's not going to stop. Mm-hmm. And then also encourage them, you know, to, you know, always read their Bible and things like that. That's the way I would encourage the younger ones now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember my grandfather, who I told you was a Methodist minister, and he always said, you know, the Christians really didn't convert us, because many of the teachings of the church are the teachings of our Indian people, and the way you treat each other and respect and that sort of thing. So that you're right on track with those kind of teachings for the kids. How about anything else? How about themselves, taking care of themselves?
Yes, we have program. We used to have it on Wednesday nights, so we have a different direction now. But anyway, that it involved a pledge. That pledge involved taking care of yourself, bathing and all that good stuff. Always remember your prayers and all. And that's what they would memorize it, and then they would say it. So just a lot of the ways, of course, every once in a while, the old man, I call him the old man, he's an old Navy guy, he's our pastor, that he always liked, you know, kind of like have a lice check, you know, all that stuff, because I believe that was always done on ship or whatever. But anyway, that was a pretty good idea, because we, you know, found some lice before. So, you know, just reminding them to do this and that, because there's a lot of different housing that we have where we, you know, go through and pick up, and we just remind them, give them things, and give them packets of this and that, you know, soap and toothpaste or whatever, you know, and a lot of little stuff to remind them, and always just be ready to, you know, help them, you know. Mm-hmm.
And how about respect? Respect for themselves and respect for others, even if they're different.
Sure. You know, we have a lot of different, you know, we have red, yellow, black, and white. You know, that's the way our church is. And there's none better than the other, and always help each other. You know, that's just, you know, the Christian way, and that's what we always remind them to do. I have another helper that in the other class that she's does the same, and we pretty much study out of the same booklet. We used to call them quarterlies, but they're booklets that are for first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and all the way up to a youth class. So, and it's really a good book to study out of.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like you're doing a really good job of teaching the young ones in the ways to go. And so that's very admirable, and I thank you for doing that. We're just about to the end of our time. Are there any closing words, any words of wisdom that you would like to give to the young people?
Sure. I would encourage everybody to read scripture, read your Bible. Praise God, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I at the powwow the other day, you know, before I prayed, you know, it was, you know, God can live without us, but we surely cannot live without Him.
Yes.
And then we, you know, had encouraged the folks to, if you take your children to church, that's good, but stay there with them, you know. Mm-hmm. If you have people come by and pick them up for church, you know, maybe you can come with them, you know. You know, there's a lot of things that we, when we go door to door, when we talk with people that maybe come and visiting, you know, mm-hmm. and just encourage them that this, you know, the door to the church is always open, you know, and you know, of course, it's, we have to lock it, but I mean, it's open to anyone that, you know, during the Sunday worship services. And just pray, you know, and read scripture. That's about all I can say to anyone. And the same thing I say to the youngsters. Respect the elders.
Yes. Yeah. Well, we thank you for your time. Thank you for taking the time to talk with us today.
Sure.
I appreciate that. And we wish you the best as you continue on this good road. Thank you.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you for being on. I appreciate it. Aho. All right, that was the Kiowa Elder of the Week, John Sumpty. And next on our show, we're going to have Jared Tarza to talk about the current recall of Chairman Camalti that was filed on May 27th. So, Jared, do you want to go ahead and take it away on that, on the recall update?
Yeah, thank you, Joe. Thank you, Mary Helen. And, that was my cone right there. We were talking Elder of the Week today, so... Anyways, thank you all for having me on the air today to talk about the recall efforts initiated by a group of concerned Kiowa citizens. Back on May 27th, the group filed a recall for Kiowa Chairman Camalti, citing malfeasance, abuse of power, and mismanagement of funds. The group has 90 days to collect signatures, and our 90th day will be August 24th, 2021. And right now, today, we're at around approximately 941 signatures collected so far. So we're at the halfway point. We've met the halfway point, and we are going to still be going around collecting signatures. We have volunteers throughout the state, throughout the U.S. There's people that have been collecting their petitions periodically since we filed the recall. And they have petition. We have petition holders in pretty much all of our populated states. And that list can be found at Kiowa's for a Better Future or Kiowa's for Justice, or it can also be found on, we have it shared on several of the local Facebook groups, but just go ahead and look out for those there. And reach out to your nearest rep. If you do not know, if you don't know, you don't see your rep on the list, go ahead and just inbox Joe Poe, inbox myself, Jared Tarza, Mary Helen. We've got several working on this, and we've got a lot of support now. We've got a lot of support for this. The signature collection is amping up because of what the executive team has done over the past week and a half or so on their decisions. And some of the legislators and what they have decided has really caused a lot of uprising on the recall effort side. And so we are appreciative of that, and we are going to go ahead and carry on and collect the signatures. And there is a website that is going live, should go live tonight, recallthechairman.com. That is back up. So you want to go ahead and take a look at any of the allegations or the findings. We'll have them posted there. We have the prerequisites from the constitutions are going to be listed there. So the volunteer list would also be listed there. And there'll be some other resources on the resources tab for everybody to take a look at. I encourage everybody to go ahead and read your constitution, read the Kiowa Indian Council sections, read the executive powers, read the legislative powers. I encourage everybody to read their constitution, download it to your phone, their tablets, print it out if you can and have it nearby so you can reference to it whenever things arise. That way, the people got to become educated on the constitution and how it pertains to us, the Kiowa Indian Council members. So I just encourage everybody to read that. So we're sitting at approximately 940 signatures collected so far. So we're halfway there, and we will have people out circulating petitions. There will be some pop-up sites this week. Just look for those in Anadarko, possibly outside of the outskirts of the Carnegie area. There'll be one, but people are going to be carrying their petitions around with them. So go ahead and reach out to somebody you see with a petition on the volunteer list. There are several. There's about a couple of dozen volunteers. Go ahead and reach out to them. And there also is another petition circulating for a District 4 recall legislator, Sweetock. And that has been headed up by Susan Brockman Campbell. And I believe she actually has an event planned for July 10th. July 10th is going to be Susan's District 4 recall community event. What it is basically a little block party she's going to host. There's going to be drinks and hot dogs, possibly some live entertainment. But we just want to gather the people there, get their ideas and suggestions together so that we could go ahead and present these to the legislature, to the executive team. We want to express our complaints, and we want to be able to provide an avenue. So Susan has went ahead and spearheaded that recall effort, and then she's also spearheaded the block party for July 10th.
I wanted to give everybody Susan Brockman Campbell's phone number. She can be reached at 580-235-8969. So next on the show, we're going to talk about current events in the tribe. And we've got several topics, and there's quite a few things that have happened recently that we all need to talk about. First one being some history. The legislatures recently passed a bill to pay every Kiowa citizen $3,000. And that was presented to the chairman on June 15th. And the chairman, it sat on his desk for 10 days. And then he vetoed the bill. And the only remedy to that was for there to be a 6-1 vote by the legislators to override his veto. Well, we finally had that vote, and two legislators, Jesse Svitok from District 4, who has had a recall filed on him because of his no vote, and District 1 legislator Kyle Tattelty also voted no to override the chairman's veto, which is the reason why the tribe is not mailing out $3,000 checks to the Kiowa tribal members. Jared, do you have any comment on that?
It's a shame that our lawmaking body could not come together. Well, these two could not come together with the rest of the lawmaking body to go ahead and present a solution out of the rescue funds so that the people could go ahead and start receiving checks. However, now it looks like it's going to be held up on a longer possibly court.
Court case, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're hearing that the chairman's proposal was to pay each tribal member $2,200.
Up to
$2,200, which means that it's probably going to vary. And then he wanted to give 17 and under Kiowas a $500 voucher.
Up to,
whatever that means. And that would be retaining about $30 million approximately that the tribe would hold for the chairman to administer programs. Well, we've already seen how well the chairman administers programs from last time, didn't we, Jared?
Oh, yeah. We've got lots of mismanagement evidence that we have. And that it's a shame that that's the way that money was funneled out that way. There was an executive press release, and it stated that there, I believe, were 20 programs that the executive team developed for the American funds to assist people through. However, that's not been voted on by the legislature, by the Kiowa Indian Council. So that's another unofficial program that looks like it's just aimed at funneling money out to whomever they feel.
So our constitution mandates that all revenues received by the tribe from any source must be included in the annual budget. And that annual budget must be approved by the Kiowa Indian Council by ballot before any money is spent. Now, I'm not certain, but it looks like, Jared, that this chairman is proposing to go ahead and spending money violating the Kiowa Constitution.
That's what it appears to be. That's what it looks to me. We've got the Comanches and we've got the Apaches. They've got it formulated at, I believe it's around 65% of the funds are going to the membership, and then the rest are to be put into programs. And here we've got it even dwindled down even more now. I mean, it's just the fact that there's not even an entertainment of any kind of a payment going to the people on within a needs assessment to accompany it. So this is more like they've got 20 programs developed to go ahead and just siphon the money however they see fit. And we saw how that went down whenever the first unofficial COVID response or Kiowa outreach program went on. We saw households of upwards of 8,000 to 10,000 of the households were getting assistance, and wasn't even including what they got on top of the additional $1,000 and the additional $500. So, I mean, there were some people that got some pretty hefty assistance from those programs that were not voted on by the Kiowa Indian Council.
So one thing that I have a clear recollection of, and I'm not sure how well the chairman remembers last summer, but he got hauled into court because he was spending the money in violation of the Constitution, and the court ruled that he is not allowed to spend a dime of that money until it is budgeted and approved by the KIC. And apparently he's going to have to be taken back to court to be reminded of that. And if he does spend any of that money, there's already a court ruling already stating that he can't spend any of the COVID relief money until it is budgeted and approved. So he'll be in contempt of court from that order last summer. So, Jared, what do you think about that?
Well, I support an injunction on this on the American Rescue money because we do not want it to be squandered away. We saw, what was it, about $19 million or so squandered off through, 3 to 4 months. So we have approximately like $58 million right now at our disposal, and it's just burning holes in some people's pockets. And I don't think that that's right. I think that the council needs to vote on all monies that the tribe receives, like the Constitution says. So I think that the people have waited this far for the money that just a little bit longer would not hurt us. I mean, it's unfortunate that we have to go that route, if we have to go that route. But I, just like I said last year, whenever when the late legislator for District 1 was alive, Angela McCarthy, I had sat there in Red Buffalo Hall, and I told all the legislature that they needed to lock themselves into Red Buffalo Hall with the chairman and work out a plan until they come out. But that never happened. So we shall see what they come up with this year. So I do hope that there are some proposals on the table that are sufficient for the Kiowa Indian Council, because there are a lot of Kiowa Indian Council members out there, young and old, 18 and under, and adults and elders and everybody in between that are hurting and that could utilize some assistance, $2,000 or whatever it is. It's not up to our discretion on what they do with the kids' money, because that's up to them. The federal government doesn't have that oversight into their stimulus funds that they send out.
No, they sure don't. I wanted to bring Anita Johnson on right this second. Anita, we were just talking about the legislature's bill for the $3,000 and the chairman's veto and the two legislators that voted no to override. And I just wanted to get your comments and thoughts about that process, that what just happened.
Well, I was listening, so I know that you probably went over most of it. The legislature passed the legislation to, which included in that budget, we passed the budget on June the 12th that included the ARPA payment for $3,000 per enrolled Kiowa tribal member with an application and a needs assessment. And then we passed it and then we sent it over to the chairman and he has an option to sign it that day or let it sit for 10 days or, you know, he has options and he chose to wait until the following week, 10th, I think he did it on the 9th day or so, but he vetoed that bill and sent it back to us, vetoed, and we took the opportunity to last Tuesday on the 28th, I think it was, to on Monday, to have a vote and override the chairman's veto. Well, at that voting, we had 5 yes, districts 2, 3, 5, 6, and 7 voted yes to override the veto, and districts 1 and district 4 voted no.
That's real unfortunate that happened.
It certainly is, because that holds it up. It holds up the budget. And in the Constitution, it says the legislature shall have the power to consider any budget proposals presented by the chairman or develop its own budget proposals, and the legislature shall have the power to pass an annual budget and budget modifications pursuant to the legislative process, provided that the election commission shall promptly place any budget or budget modification approved by the legislature or deemed approved by the legislature before the voters for approval or disapproval. No budget or budget modification shall be valid until approved by the voters in an election. So any budget or budget modification has to go before the people. You cannot deny the people their vote on the money. And so this past week, after the vote taken on Monday, Tuesday, we worked on an additional budget and got that through, got finished with that, and turned it over to our legislative clerk and asked her to place it on the legislative calendar, which begins the 30-day. That's the only portion of the legislative process that gives a time, which is placing it on the legislative calendar. It says 30 days before any action is taken on that particular piece of legislation. There has two other requirements in the legislative process. One is an open hearing, and then the other is have it read into the record, and that will happen on the 10th of July. And we'll then have an open hearing, a public hearing on it later on in the month. But those are the three requirements in the legislative process. but only one of them have a time assigned to it, and that's placed on the legislative calendar, and that's a 30-day time period. I wanted to read a little bit more here. Any modification of an approved budget shall be approved in the same manner as the annual budget. The legislature shall have the power to enact budget modifications twice per year by law, provided that the budget modification to obtain new grants, appropriated matching funds for new grants, or to expend new grant funds may be done at any time by law. No budget modification shall be valid if such modification violates the requirements of this subsection. And then you have another portion of this, and we're all dealing with budgets here, with the powers of the legislature. It says the legislature shall have the power to raise revenue and appropriate funds for expenditure. Every funding item in the annual budget must have been previously authorized by law. No money shall be drawn from the treasury except by signature of the chairman and except upon authorization and appropriation by law. Those are the some of the requirements for monies coming into the Kiowa tribe. But by all means, monies have to be approved by the Kiowa tribe. And that's my thing. You cannot expend the money unless the Kiowa tribe has a chance to vote on them. You can't deny the Kiowa tribe their vote. And so what the proposal is from the chairman is to give the adults $2,200 and the children two vouchers, one for $200 for food, and the other is $300 before school starts, a clothing voucher for $300. My stance on this, and I've been very vocal on it, is that you counted the children's heads in a head count, just like you did the adults. So they should receive the same amount with that application as the adults receive, because their bodies counted just like the adults did. And our tribe needs the help. The children need the help just like the adults do. Our tribe is in need of help. And we are still facing pandemic crises.
My thing is, in the meantime, while all this is going on with the budget and such, how about the legislature declaring, or whatever the process is, a continuing resolution? Because there is money coming in. There is money that's there available. But we need a continuing resolution. Are you going to be doing that?
Well, I just read from the Constitution, and I did not read anything that said a continuing resolution.
Anita, this is Jared. The Constitution discusses the fact that if a new budget is not approved, then the tribe reverts to the previously approved budget. So couldn't just a continuing resolution just reaffirm that is all that we need? Because one reason why Mary Helen probably mentions this is because yesterday I reached out to Social Services, and they said that their funds are depleted right now due to budgetary issues. And so I was going to get an application for the new fiscal year, and they said that there are no funds available also for that because there's a budgeting issue. So my deal is that's a lie, because they should have a continuance of the previously enacted budget. So there should not be a budgetary issue.
And Anita, another thing too, since last year we already budgeted $1,000 for every Kiowa citizen, can we not just go ahead and send $1,000 out right now? Because that was in last year's budget, and we are going to revert to last year's budget. So can't aren't we already authorized to send out $1,000 right now while we sort out this mess?
That is not in our budget. That is the CARES Act money, which is a different money than what we're talking about. We're talking about the ARPA money.
Okay, so it's a different one. So it's a different one then, I understand.
Yeah, and the budget, yes, the budget is, when we start the new budget, which is today, July the 1st begins our new fiscal year. And until we get a new budget, it will continue on. The last year's budget will continue on until a new budget is available, which is who knows when. But that's the budget that we're proposing, is last year's budget. We didn't come up with any new budget figures. We're sticking with the figures that were on last year's budget. All we did was just add the new ARPA funds to that last year's budget, because we're trying to get the ARPA funds out as quickly as we can in a legitimate way.
Yes, ma'am, I understand. So at this time, can you, let's go to your legislative update. And is there any other thing that's going on with the legislature that anyone needs to know about that we haven't heard already?
Not really. No, I don't believe so. Not really for me. Might tune in Jacob. He may have something.
We'll check on him in just a minute. We had an incident that we had to bring to everyone's attention. The chairman has told Ben Wolf that unless he changes his political views and supports the chairman, there will never be a casino in Hobart during the Comalte administration. We have a copy. Let me go ahead and read this. This email that I have. The chairman sent this email to Hobart. Ben Wolf is responsible for the delays. As long as he opposes me and has a personal vendetta against me in my position as chairman, the town of Hobart will not be seeing a casino during my term unless Mr. Wolf changes his political views. Maybe you guys can tell him this. Please call me when you want an explanation. And then that email was forwarded on to the legislature, and then it's out for the whole tribe to see. Anita, do you have any comment on this, and how many different laws does this break?
Well, it's unfortunate that this has come from the chairman to Mr. Wolf through Mr. Sims, who is the chairman of the Economic Development Committee in Hobart, Oklahoma, who's been working very hard with the United States senators and representatives from that area, also the state of Oklahoma legislators and the Kiowa tribe legislators and the chairman himself.
Jacob, we were just discussed a few things about what happened with the bill and the override failure.
Yes.
And we're now talking, yes, about the Hobart Casino chairman text message to Hobart. So I wanted to see, right, if you had any comment about that, sure, particular Hobart Casino chairman message to the Homework Economic Development Commission, and how many different Kiowa laws that broke.
To me, it's an attempt at extortion by the chairman to extort legislature rule through the Economic Development Committee in Hobart to get them to pressure Mr. Wolf. And it smacks of anti-racketeering that the federal law passed to address organized crime. And it's just a sad state of affairs that the chairman feels compelled to strong arm one of our duly elected officials in this manner. There may be some legal action that can be taken. We'll just have to wait and see. But it's just alarming.
I found it alarming too.
Yes, I agree. It's uncalled for. Those are distinct issues. Ben has a legislator Wolf has a right to his opinion, to voice his opinion, to express himself through his vote, and for the chairman to hold the casino as hostage unless the city of Hobart convinces him to change his mind. It's just wrong, and it may be illegal.
Anita, what comment do you have to make about that? You were just about ready to start.
Well, I want to reiterate just what Jacob said, that it's unfortunate that this came to Mr. Sands, and rather than come and talk to the legislator himself, that he sends a message to the chairman of the case of the Chamber of Commerce to go and do the talking for him. I mean, this is Kiowa business, has nothing to do with the Chamber of Commerce of Hobart. And I think that's the misfortune, that we could not keep this within the Kiowa tribe, and that you have to go and have a go-between, which is the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce of Hobart. You could not go to your own fellow government official and speak with them. You feel that alienated, or whatever you want to call it. I'm not sure what term you want to use, but you would feel that harshly against your fellow man, that you would have to go through someone else and tell them to speak to Mr. Wolf. You know, be a man and go and speak to him yourself. I mean, very easy to speak to. Mr. Wolf is one of the most easiest people to speak to on the legislature. I was astounded when I read the text message that Mr. Sims sent to the legislature.
I was astounded also. It looks to me like an attempt at blackmail.
Well, I don't know what it is, but it's he just says it, text me or call me or something like that if you when you want an explanation, and I couldn't understand that. I never encountered anything like that before.
I just wonder if this is another attempt of him to get rid of the KCOA and close all the casinos. Of course, I don't know what it'll do for gambling money then, but, you know, NIGC can get involved in this, or National Gaming can get involved, and we could lose our casinos. This is ridiculous.
Well, this, to me, is very alarming on other levels also, because of... they have that statement or that comment involved a lot of money for that community of Kiowa County, that portion of Kiowa County, and not chairman not knowing the people and the families that make up that side of the state of Oklahoma, not knowing that community. Has put a target on Ben, and it's not a good target. It is it's like a death target on Ben, and I'm not being overly reactive either. I grew up over there, and I know exactly what kind of people are over there. And it's a very unfortunate and very dangerous, life-threatening target that Ben has on him now. And I am fearful for his life.
Well, Chairman had issued a proclamation against a no stance policy on any type of bullying, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was a proclamation that he is in violation of himself, the tactics that he's utilizing. Let me see if I can go ahead and pull that proclamation up. It says, a Kiowa proclamation, whereas the Kiowa tribe is a sovereign tribe of the free and independent people, and whereas the Kiowa tribe recognizes that no level of any abuse or violence is acceptable, and the elimination of such thing against the tribal employees must be absolute priority, and whereas the Kiowa tribe stands in solidarity with its tribal employees and supports them from such abuse at their workplace, and whereas the tribal leadership has a responsibility to demonstrate to employees that no tolerance of any abuse or violence of any kind will be accepted, and whereas the Kiowa tribe has taken every precaution to protect employees in these uncertain times and promises to continue to provide a safe workplace, and therefore I, Matthew M. Comalte, chairman of the Kiowa tribe, do proclaim a zero tolerance and effort to protect tribal employees from harm's way and provide a safe environment. Kiowa tribe, zero tolerance.
Well, it looks to me like our chairman is a hypocrite, doesn't it, Jared?
It appears so.
All right, so... do either of you two have any other comment you want to make about this Hobart Casino and the chairman tempering to leverage Ben's obedience to him?
I do believe it needs to be investigated, and it needs to be thoroughly evaluated as to the extent of the possible criminal violations that might be brought forward because of this attempt to intimidate the city of Hobart. Straighten Ben Wolf, Legislator Wolf, out, to get him to fall in line with the chairman's wishes.
You know, we certainly could refer this to the Kiowa Judicial Branch. Oh, wait, we don't have one. Jacob, who would we refer this to or to have further investigation done?
Well, I would start with the BIA, law enforcement, and then move on from there. But let them evaluate it initially.
Well, maybe you and I can work on that and then approach the BIA here in the next few days.
Sure.
Jacob, earlier we had discussed the legislative process on the $3,000 bill, the chairman's veto, and the two legislatures that voted no to override. And I'll just quickly circle back on that to see if you had any comments on that topic.
Well, it's outrageous and it's frustrating that we have two legislators that are so willing to bend to the executive branch's wishes that they will ignore the level of frustration and desperation that many of our tribal citizens are experiencing because of this pandemic. Through no fault of their own, we have an opportunity to remedy some of that they are encountering by having overridden the veto, and they turn their backs on their tribal people. It's an outrage, and it's infuriating for so many. And actions have begun to help to remedy that because of the careless acts of these two individuals.
I agree with you. Jacob, let me circle back. We gave Anita an opportunity to talk about whatever else she wanted to talk about in the legislative update. Do you have any other topics or anything else you want to talk to the Kiowa people about today in other legislative news?
We are working on an ordinance, a new election KEC ordinance that would help to improve the situation that was realized through the initial recall effort of District 4. So we're seeing how that would help to improve the situation there.
On the District 4 recall, we wanted to report to everybody that last Friday, Susan Campbell filed a recall on the legislative representative from District 4, Lawton, and she then has 90 days to collect the necessary figures.
She got a correspondence from the Election Commission, and she was told that she needs to collect 143 signatures. At this effort last year, she did easily collect 165 signatures, so we don't see any problem with moving forward with that. I wanted to open this back up to Anita or Jacob or both of you, if you got you two wanted to comment about anything else. Okay.
Well, I just want to wish our Kiowa people that they have a good time in fellowship, singing and dancing this weekend as they experience the annual and renewal of our Kiowa Gorge Plan and Kiowa Thigh Society. And I wish them well, and hopefully the rain will relent and allow them opportunity to celebrate as Creator who had intended.
All right, so...
Oh, I do have a little something.
Go ahead.
At a meeting, a joint meeting, that the last one that we had, there was talk about, you know, the 4th of July and a lot of people coming in from out of state. And I made a comment about the offices of the enrollment opening up, and, you know, staying open so that people that were coming in could get their enrollment updated and, you know, maybe get their picture taken and something like that. But got kind of big pushback from the executive offices. So
what a shock!
The executive officer said, "Well, you know, they need time off too." But you know, that office been closed for the whole year, over a year now. So you would think they could accommodate the Kiowas coming in from all over. That they only come home like once a year, maybe, and this would have been an opportune time to get their tags and get their enrollment updated. And it's unfortunate that we didn't make arrangements to accommodate the Kiowas that come in at this time of the year. It's just like Mary Holland said, it's like a homecoming, and you only do it like once a year.
Well,
you can't afford to come home all the time.
Anita, the Ma Bay have no limits to the BS they can spew sometimes. So we're running short on time. Let me go ahead and go right to the announcements. Again, a request for recall of the chairman was filed on May 27th. We've got many petition holders. Go to the Facebook pages to find out who to contact in your area for the Kiowa chairman. District 4 has a recall. Contact Susan Campbell in Lawton. You can find her on Facebook, and we gave her number out previously. July events this weekend. The Kiowa Gourd Clan ceremony is July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. The head singer is Sydney Topaw. Head singer Curtis Hamilton, head man dancer Josiah Tsatok, head lady dancer Lily Painter. The MCs are Joe Fish, Cy Autone, MC Tom Phillips. The AD is to be determined. Special invite to the Kiowa Princess. You can find this flyer on all of the web pages. And Mary Helen Deere will read the next announcement.
Yes, watching the news. The new cases of COVID in Oklahoma have risen from 50 to 369 new cases. So it's not over yet, folks. Please wear your mask. Please wash your hands. And please get vaccinated.
All right, next. The Kiowa Taipei Society has their annual celebration, July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. MCs David Gimmesaddle and Alonzo Chelapaw, head singer Leonard Cozad Jr., head lady dancer Marissa Murley, and arena directors Ricky Gionte and Gunnar Bointe. Honored elder is Sandra Quitone, and that's July 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Esther Topaw home place. We want to encourage everyone to get vaccinated. Please contact the nearest IHS clinic to find out. Carnegie, 580-654-2533. Lawton, 580-6354-5000. And Anadarko, 405-247-7900. We'd like to thank our special guests today, John Somte and Jared Tartza, for speaking today, as well as all the Koyugu for turning into our program on KACO, New Country 98.5. Please pray for the Kiowa people, and as J.T. Goombay would say, Goombay for now.
The previous was a paid program, and the opinions expressed within it are those of the individual participants and not necessarily those of KACO Radio or Mullman Media management and staff.